Women's Liberation, The Marxist Tradition, written by Sharon Smith, posted on isreview.org, read by Desaline. Introduction. Quote, if women's liberation is unthinkable without communism, then communism is unthinkable without women's liberation. By the Russian revolutionary Inessa Armand. The classical Marxists of the 19th and early 20th centuries, Karl Marx, Friedrich Engels, Clara Zetkin, Rosa Luxemburg, V.I. Lenin, Alexander Kollontai, and Leon Trotsky, developed a theoretical framework tying the fight for women's liberation to the struggle for socialism. While their theory requires updating, their enormous contributions have too often been dismissed or ignored. Moreover, the history of those who carried on the Marxist tradition on women's oppression during the mid-20th century has frequently been rendered invisible. Yet these activists and theorists provided an indispensable thread that continued between the victory of women's suffrage in the 1920s, often referred to as U.S. feminism's first wave, and the rise of the 1960s movements for women's liberation, known as its second wave. Marx and Engels located the root of women's oppression in their role within the nuclear family in class societies. They understood that women's role as biological reproducers results in their subordinate status inside the nuclear family, and consequently throughout society. In capitalist societies, women in property-holding families reproduce heirs. Women in working-class families reproduce generations of labor power for the system. The capitalist class has become dependent on this method of, quote, privatized reproduction within the working-class family because it lessens its own financial responsibility for the reproduction of labor power, which is instead largely supplied by unpaid domestic labor performed primarily by women. The precondition for women's liberation thus requires an end to their unpaid labor inside the family. This, in turn, necessitates a socialist transformation of society, which cannot be achieved gradually, but only through a process of social revolution, in a decisive battle between classes. Marx and Engels early on identified the revolutionary agency of the working class, or proletariat, as the only class capable of leading the transformation to a socialist society. In the Communist Manifesto, they stated, "What the bourgeoisie therefore produces, above all, are its own gravediggers. Its fall and the victory of the proletariat are equally inevitable." As Hal Draper noted, quote, the classic formulation of the self-emancipation principle by Marx was written down in 1864 as the first premise of the Rules of the First International. In fact, as its first clause, quote, considering that the emancipation of the working classes must be conquered by the working classes themselves, end quote. This class-based revolutionary strategy did not downplay the importance of combating women's oppression among Marxist theorists of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. As Leon Trotsky argued, in order to change the conditions of life, we must learn to see them through the eyes of women. Like Marx and Engels before them, this generation of Marxists recognized the revolutionary agency of the entire working class, and regarded working class women as a key component in achieving its revolutionary potential. They emphasized the plight of working class women, and attempted to organize explicitly working class women's movements. European Marxists from Germany to Russia were often at the forefront of the fight for women's liberation, while advancing Marxist theory on what was then called the woman question. They did so not only in an era of growing inter-imperialist conflict leading to World War I, but also in the context of rising revolutionary socialist movements. The outbreak of war brought about a whirlwind of patriotism in all the belligerent countries, and became the dividing question within the socialist movement itself, as entire socialist parties of the Second International plunged themselves into the war efforts of their own ruling classes. The chasm between revolutionary socialists and those they called, quote, bourgeois feminists, was not due to minor tactical or strategic differences, but those of crucial political principles. In the case of Tsarist Russia, for example, ruling class women threw themselves into the war effort as a trade-off in return for voting rights. The League for Women's Equality called on Russian women to, quote, devote all our energy, intellect, and knowledge to our country. This is our obligation to our fatherland, and this will give us the right to participate as the equals of men in the new life of a victorious Russia. End quote. As socialists Hal Draper and Angie Lipow described, revolutionary socialists, quote, gave strong support to all the democratic demands for women's equal rights. But this movement differed from the bourgeois feminists, not only the programmatic context in which it put these, quote, democratic demands, but also, and consequently, in its choice of immediate demands to emphasize. It viewed itself, in Marxist terms, as a class movement, and this translates into working women's movement. End of section.